You're listening to Iowa's Jazz Station, 88.3 KCCK. And this is Talking Pictures, our weekly review of movies and film. I'm Hollis Monroe. Joining me, we have Denny Lynch and Phil Brown. Denny, what have you got for us this week?
Well, I've seen four films, so I'm going to start off with two documentaries and put them together. The first is Disney Nature's Born in China. Now, this is a film entirely shot in China. It's a co-production. Spectacular photography, location work up in mountains and forests, far, far away. In fact, this is one of the wonderful things about the film is there is not a sign anywhere of human activity on the planet. No buildings, no fences, no roads. This is just nature. They follow some golden snub-nosed monkeys and pandas and snow leopards who live up in one of the mountain ranges. It is typical of all the Disney films, great footage. They follow a year cycle. It goes a little longer than four seasons. Not everybody survives, as is true in the real world. Mm-hmm. One very disturbing element early on, they refer to the fact that the snow leopards are perfectly designed to live in this terrain. There is not a mention of evolutionary processes anywhere in the film. I found that extremely disturbing and misleading. The other film I saw was I Am Not Your Negro. Now, this is based on a book that was started by James Baldwin. He proposed doing a book about the assassinations of Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and Medgar Evers. And he got 30 pages into it and died. I don't know what happened to him. Apparently, wasn't that old. He died like in the late 70s or very early 80s. This is a really thought-provoking look at race relations in the United States from the point of view of African Americans. You know, we see on news, it's network news, it's white anchors and white people talking about why aren't the blacks happy and this and that. And this, you know, follows a lot. They use a lot of film clips of Baldwin talking about his experience growing up. He talks, I think the film that resonates for film buffs is he grew up, and John Wayne was the hero, and he was always killing the Indians. And then about the age of 5 or 6, he realized, I'm one of the Indians. Very, very strong. 99% at Rotten Tomatoes, absolutely deserves it. Only a couple more days at the Collins Road, I'm afraid.
Oh, wow.
Well, keeping on sort of the documentary front, I saw Phoenix Forgotten, which is a found footage film that propounds to be about real incident. It's a documentary about the following three youth who disappeared after going out into the desert to explore the origin of something called the Phoenix Lights. And this happened March 13th, 1997. Interestingly, at the beginning, we have sort of they're shooting a birthday party, and all of a sudden these lights appear in the sky and they swing around and show it. And this kid, Josh, becomes fascinated with this and starts shooting footage, interviewing people who saw it, they disappear. Him and two other people go out into the desert to see what's going on out there. 20 years later, his sister, who you see as a little girl in the beginning of the film, comes back to make a documentary about that and the disappearance of the kids. And the first half of the film is a sort of a talking head compilation investigation type of documentary. The second half of the film, and I really can't get into the second, sit through the entire film because the second half of the film is where what you paid your monies for, okay? That's really where it comes down. And it really turns into a very fascinating thing. If you're into talking head documentaries, and it does a good job of kind of replicating that kind of found footage type of things, it puts a lot of news footage of the time into it. And Josh had shot a whole bunch of stuff on this Hi-8 camera, and they're watching all this stuff and interviewing the people who are involved in it. I get bored with that kind of thing, but it does a good job of recreating that.
Mm-hmm.
But then the second half with the compilation stuff, or not the compilation, the pure found footage material at the end, wonderful. It's shot by Justin Barber. This is his first film. He wrote it with T.S. Nolan, and it was produced by Ridley Scott. So it's not one of your, you know, it's got some pedigree behind it. Likewise, the real star of this film is the cameraman who shot it, Jay Keitel, who really does a wonderful job, and they do a great job of recreating different camera types and different use different aspect ratios and so on. And Joshua Rosenfield edited it as well. So it really, I came out liking it quite a bit. And my class, one of the things, my class was just now going through found footage documentaries, horror films. And sort of, that was one of the reasons why I really wanted to see it. And I think it does a nice job. It's kind of Blair Witchy and kind of Close Encounter-y. And I could go on forever about it, but I will not. But I would recommend it highly. And I would recommend also a website called the Found Footage Critic, which is a nice place to go if you want to do research on found footage films. It goes, it has them all in there and has some great critical articles on it.
Cool. I may give this one a shot then.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of history, I managed to see the other two films were both historical epics. The Lost City of Z is about the search by British explorers initially assigned to map the border between Bolivia and Brazil, because they're going to go to war. They hire the Brits to come in. You're neutral. You can do this. On his first expedition around 1905, he stumbles across ancient artifacts, things that were obviously carved by primitive people way before white men are there. These buildings, these what is left of the buildings and ruins and stuff. He manages, about a decade later, to get a second expedition to go back and look some more. He comes home and he gets, he's a military officer. He gets assigned to the trenches where he lives and fights for a couple of years. And then he ends up going back in the 1920s with his son, who has now grown and has decided to join his dad on this great adventure as they search. And every time they go in, they go farther and farther. Beautiful location work shot in Colombia, and decent production values. Going in, I knew how it ended. National Geographic had done an episode on it, the magazine had written articles about it, so I knew how it ended. Oh. So it wasn't as impressive or involving as I had hoped it would be. Mm-hmm. There's some stuff shot in Northern Ireland where he comes home. That's where his family lives. The other film I saw was The Promise. Now, this is a documentary dramatization of the Armenian genocide by the Turks in World War, just before World War I and at the beginning of the war, where roughly 1 million to 1.5 million Armenians died. Now, Turkey's been in tight denial for a century of this never happened, it couldn't possibly, this is ridiculous. They posted 50,000 bad reviews of the film at a point when only three audiences had seen the film at film festivals,
yes,
maybe 2,000 people. Oscar Isaac plays a doctor who's in this village. He wants to be a doctor. He's a medical student. And things go bad. The Ottomans move in. His family gets kicked out. And he goes anyway on exodus with them to try to get rescued. I don't like Isaac. He is Oscar Isaac. I've got his name mixed up. I've seen him in four films. Has Poe Dameron in the Star Wars movie. He's terrific. In every other film, he's sour, dour, and boring. He just flattens any film. And I talked to somebody new background of the making of this movie. Kirk Kerkorian, who was head of MGM for a while, sold it. When he died, he left $100 million in his estate for the making of this film with the specific instructions, do not turn this into an emotional excitement film. This is a serious drama. And as a result, I found it really flat and uninvolving. Yeah. I was sorry to hear that. It's got a 45% rating at Rotten Tomatoes. I'd give it maybe 50 or 55.
That's unfortunate.
I was expecting something a lot more involving and condemning. The Turks are all one-dimensional, and the Armenians all are wonderful, and it, you know, just kind of follows the predictable path.
For Denny Lynch and Phil Brown, I'm Hollis Monroe on Jazz 88.3 KCCK.